And we're back on the Fowler Show. House Majority Whip Steve Scalise has been upgraded to fair condition a week after the shooting at the congressional baseball practice that left him wounded. MedStar Washington Hospital Center reported that Scalise's condition is making good progress and now is beginning to extended periods of healing and rehabilitation. Scalise has been upgraded to severe condition last week, 4 days after he was shot in the hip by a gunman in Alexandria, Virginia. He has been in critical conditions for several days prior to his improvement. James T. Hodgkins, the Alexandria shooter, was killed in a police shootout following the attack. According to the FBI, after leaving his home in Illinois, Hodgkins spent weeks hanging out around the YMCA near the baseball field where he shot Republican congressmen and staffers. Authorities found a note on him with the name of different Republican congressmen that he was trying to shoot, including Majority Whip Steve Scalise. Now, this is an interesting story that I've been following quite a bit. And you know what I said this on The Real Story with Martha McCallum last week. People around this country, we are definitely a divided country, America. There's no questions about it. But people really don't understand how Washington works, right? So people think when we go on cable news and we yell at each other that we actually hate each other. And it's very rare that I hate my conservative colleagues that I yell at on TV. Our job is to yell and talk about differences in policies. Well, that difference in policy doesn't mean we don't all love our country. And I think that's been part of the problem that we have in the United States today, right? What you hear is if you're the far left, you're unpatriotic, you're un-American, you don't love this country. And the far right has taken ownership of the American flag. We're all Americans, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican, whether you're Green Party, whether you're a Bernie bot, or you're a Trumpian. We are all Americans. And when you have shootings like this, even though this guy was influenced by the left-wing media, so they say, tomorrow it could be a guy influenced by the right-wing media, and he can engage in the same type of behavior. And before we run to have this conversation or debate the guns issue, which I think is an issue that we can debate, seeing that this individual both outmatched all the police officers that were there, right? He shot 60 shots without reloading and then pulled out a pistol and continued to shoot. We must ask ourselves this one question. Is the divisions in this country making it so hostile that we can't get along because of how we view, because of our political views? And the answer to that question right now, sadly, is a very, very sad yes. Washington used to be a place where we could get things done. People would work across the aisles. State capitals used to be places where people could get things done and we could work across the aisle. Now we live in a world where if your party's in control, the other party is doomed and damned, and so are their policies, and so are the people that they support. We have got to do better as a country, America, and it's not just a Democrat or Republican problem, even though Donald Trump is the biggest eyesore in said problem. And you don't have to go far to see it. When the president makes comments about calling Mexicans rapists and saying that they steal or saying that lie, when he picks on members of Congress like he did this past week when he says crying Schumer and, you know, Nancy P and lying Ted and little Marco, that type of cyberbullying leads to what we saw happen with Steve Scalise. But he's not alone. Let me be very clear. Because when we go after Donald Trump and we say we hate him and we say he's not our president and we say that he's a big orange machine and we make all of these comments about him, Melania, his son, we engage in that same type of behavior from the left. Remember, I don't like any of Donald Trump's policies. I could probably name all of his policies I like on one hand. It doesn't mean that I hate Donald Trump as a person. And it doesn't mean I disrespect the office of President of the United States. So to progressives out there, when we got mad at liberals for disrespecting President Obama, we should be mad at liberals also for disrespecting President Donald Trump. Because the key word here is president. I don't like him. I'm not happy about it. But he is the President of the United States. And do I disagree with his policies? Vehemently. But do I respect his office? I absolutely do. Now, do I respect what he says about others? Do I think he's a cyber bully? I do think all of that. But we as a country have really got to find a way to come together and create a level of civility so we can get things done. We have now created, thanks to some misguided politicians and people being able to move where the hell they want, is you have these conclaves of liberalism and conservatism, and they rarely ever mix. Just think about it for just a second. You take any major city and you have the little pockets of like, oh, that's the Republican part of the city. Here's where the liberals live, and the liberals move in together, and they live together because they want their Whole Foods, their dog parks, and their bike lanes, and Republicans live together because they want their shooting ranges, their farms, and the deer, so they can, and roads and roads and roads so they can drive freely and burn gas. We're back after this break. And we're back on The Fowler Show. As always here on The Fowler Show, we're here to inform you, to empower you, and help you get your voice back. This segment here, this is the Hot Fire segment. Richard
is describing this one as the Hot Fire segment.
Yeah.
Probably you can see the picture behind us. That is Bill Cosby. All right, the most recent story. The DA will retry Bill Cosby after a mistrial has been declared. All right, so here's what you need to know. The jury in Bill Cosby's trial could not reach a verdict after 52 hours of deliberations. Mind you, these were intense deliberations. At one point, one of the jurors actually punched a brick wall. Did you know that?
I did.
People were on fire in there,
Mind
Richard.
You, can I also say, okay. So the defense case was literally 7 minutes. I think it was maybe 8 minutes. So the defense rested after 8 minutes, and this jury deliberated for 52 hours and came up, and there was a hung jury, and the judge declared a mistrial because they were deadlocked. And what I find to be, don't get me wrong.
Okay. Length of
I'm getting ready to make a point.
Length of prosecution argument has nothing to do with innocence or guilt.
Fair. I just made a point.
Like if I was in a trial and I said,
but I was just stating, why are you assuming that it's innocent or guilt? I was just making a point that it was 52 hour deliberation and mm-hmm. the defense case was 8 minutes. Take what you will from that.
Right.
I never
when
made.
When people say things like that, they want you to infer something. Do you agree?
I don't want you to infer anything.
Okay. Please continue.
So now there is, so, you know, there was a mistrial. Bill Cosby is near his 80s, almost half dead. Look at the man. Now, don't get me wrong. Bill Cosby's a total creep. Anybody who would drug women with Quaaludes and you know, assault them, it's very problematic. But I also find this prosecutor's behavior to be equally problematic. After getting a mistrial, meaning your case ain't good,
what that means.
What else would it mean? The jury couldn't solve the case when the evidence clearly said that he assaulted this woman.
Right, but they didn't find... Here's the difference, right?
Go ahead.
There are at least a high amount of jurors believe beyond a reasonable doubt that he did it. Now, if it was a bad case, he would have been acquitted because all you need is everyone to agree on a reasonable doubt. So this is not a bad case. If it's a hung jury, it is by definition not a bad case.
If it's a hung jury, that means the prosecutor didn't do a good enough job to convince the jury beyond a reasonable doubt that Mr. Bill Cosby was guilty of sexually assaulting this woman, even though he admitted to sexually assaulting her in a deposition. Facts.
So, what is your point? So you believe he did it, correct?
I do believe he did it. I
but
just don't
you
understand.
Think that
I don't
he
see
shouldn't
the need
be tried for it.
I don't see the need for a retrial when Bill Cosby's legacy has been tarnished. The Cosby Show has been taken off the air. His name has been dragged through the mud, as it should be. They got rid of his mural on Ben's Chili Bowl, as they should have, right? He went from being what I would call a grade A American icon to a grade F American disgrace. What else does this prosecutor and these people want? They want to put this 82-year-old man behind bars until he dies?
That is correct. That is what they want.
And this leads me. Go ahead, continue.
Yes, thank you. Let's remember, Richard. Bill Cosby sexually assaulted this woman, plus tens of other women have come forward saying we've been sexually assaulted by Bill Cosby. This is not a coincidence. This is not, you know, all like, I mean, you believe that all the women came forward were sexually assaulted by
Yeah, him, I do, but I think that
why do you think that
I don't think you can see
tarnished is
I don't
the same
think you
as
can
these
you
women getting justice.
First of all of the women, this particular woman was paid off very richly.
Money does not equal justice, Richard.
So you want his money and you want to lock him up until he dies.
Yeah,
and he's in
I
his
think
darn
that's very reasonable
but
for these
my problem. My problem is this. I think
Why
what people
aren't you,
can I make my point? Thank
please,
you.
Please, please.
So what I think what people have done, right? And this is what and this is why I think people don't understand why African Americans Some are African Americans are very upset about how Bill Cosby has been treated in the press and by this prosecutor and by these women. And here's why African Americans are upset. African Americans are upset because Bill Cosby was one of the first men, right, in this country, right, to really depict what positive black families look like. Whether it was through The Cosby Show, whether it was through Fat Albert, whether it was through Different World. He painted a new light of African Americans that no white producer, that no major film company would do. Bill Cosby was he laid the groundwork for that. And now the show, The Cosby Show, and the Huxtables, and what they represent to black America has been tarnished, not one by his actions, but two because white people think it's he's so awful that you can't show a show anymore, and that's what's problematic. Because The Cosby Show is still a damn good show, and more black families and more black young people should watch The Cosby Show to understand what it means to be a black family. Because there's not enough black family representation. Like, he was the first guy that did it, and now we are conflating the Huxtables with Bill Cosby. And that's problematic to me because we don't conflate Donald Trump with grabbing women by the pussy.
Okay, well here's
And he's not the only one. Newt Gingrich is out there running the streets when he divorced his wife and did all sorts of things with his staff, and nobody's talking about that. So my problem is that we want to drag Bill Cosby through the mud, we want to drag his legacy through the mud, but we will not do the same for white actors and white icons who engage in the same type of behavior. So, and that's why black people are upset about this.
I'm going to address that.
Generally speaking.
No, I get it. I agree with you wholeheartedly that there is a disgusting double standard between white celebrities and black celebrities. My disagreement with you is the fact that you think for some reason it's justice for Bill Cosby to get off of going to jail because of this situation.
That's not what I'm saying. But that's not what I'm saying at all.
What is it?
The argument I'm making
you
here
made the
is
the argument that Bill Cosby's already has name tarnished.
He has.
Why should they lock him up for the rest of his life?
Well, no, it's not that. It's not the matter that this is right here. What we're talking about here is insult to injury. This prosecutor got a chance to try this case in court in front of a jury, and he failed. He failed to prosecute Mr. Bill Cosby.
And I would argue that it's not a failure. It's
How is
tie.
It not a failure when this ain't in jail?
Why are you cursing? There are mistrials all the time. Trials happen more than once. It's part of our legal system. Once he's found not guilty, then it's over. If it's a mistrial, it's not over. If the law it's a mistrial, it's over, then it would be
over. No. When there are mistrials, the prosecutor has the ability. There's a prosecutorial discretion. They could choose to retry the case, or they could say, you know what, it's a wash.
So if you were a prosecutor and you had a mistrial, you would never have a trial.
I'm not saying that. What I'm saying
is, why do you think that this prosecutor would say to himself,
I'm saying after
Bill Cosby's been tarnished enough, I'm just not going to do it again.
They put this man who could only see out of one eye. Almost.
I don't care. He sexually assaulted women. Think about what the women think about every night when they go to bed. They're survivors of sexual assault, Richard.
I get all of that.
Oh my God, Bill Cosby can't see with one eye. And first of all, your point about The Cosby Show, you should be blaming Bill Cosby for sexually assaulting these women.
I just said he was a dirtbag, but no. Bill Cosby...
He should have thought... I mean, because listen, he was sexually assaulting women while the show was on.
That's absurd.
In the 1970s, he admitted to sexually
assaulting
women.
Charlie Sheen is still on television. He is a maniac.
And that shouldn't happen.
And he's on TV, but why is he on TV? I'm going to tell you why he's on TV. He's a white man. That's why he's on TV.
I agree with that completely.
And Bill Cosby has been taken off TV simply because of one simple reason. He's a black man.
So you think the Cosby should still be on?
That engaged in rich white boy behavior, and thus he's being penalized for it.
I mean, let's be truthful here, he wasn't caught for like 40 years. So,
well, I'll give you that.
He did get away with it for 40 years.
I'll give you that. And to that, I blame none of these women decided to take him to court.
And well, listen, you would also
none of these women
take
him to court.
If we never found out about this, if he just died and all these women went to the grave without saying anything, he would have gotten the same treatment as the white people.
Right, fair. That's a fair argument. That's a fair argument. The argument I'm making here is that most of the women who were assaulted, for whatever the reason, I'm not trying to explain or not explain their rationale. But all these women said, instead of going to court, I'm going to take the money. Mm-hmm. Most of them, 90% of them, took out of court settlement for millions of dollars.
If you talk,
and they
to
chose
a lot
the money
of
instead
sexual
of
assaults.
Quote unquote. Going for the justice that you seek or that this prosecutor seeks.
Well, I mean, we've seen over and over again that the little guy, when faced with a team of attorneys that is representing someone like Bill Cosby, tends to have their name dragged through the mud and humiliated. Unfortunately, it's just part of our justice system that, you know, money talks for sure. And I can see why women would make this, and not to mention, you know, these women have to testify about something that's obviously very traumatic in a case that's going to be literally watched by millions of Americans. So, you know, you can see why they would make it. I think, you know, to hint that the reason they did it is just for the money because they're gold diggers is kind of not fair.
I'm not saying that Richard Fowler never said called anybody a gold digger.
No,
I just laid out the facts. If the facts are the facts are the facts, I can't change the facts, now can I? Right. The facts are pretty simple. A lot of these women made the choice to either prosecuted the case, went to the police, took it to court, put them behind bars. Many of them, and there is a power, and I will acknowledge that there is a power relationship here.
All right, break. We'll be back.
Okay, astronaut, you're up. You'll be meeting with Wish Kid Brandon.
Roger, Brandon.
His wish is to see a space shuttle launch.
All systems are go. We are clear for liftoff.
This year, more than 27,000 children will be diagnosed with a life-threatening medical condition.
And cowboy?
Yes, ma'am.
You'll be meeting with Shayla at a dude ranch in San Antonio.
Let's saddle up.
Some will miss school. Some will miss time with their family and friends.
Princess, are you here? Oh, yes. Thank you so much for rescuing me from that evil witch. Juliana wishes for a princess-themed room makeover. That sounds magical.
But with your help, the Make-A-Wish Foundation can lift their spirits and give them a special kind of hope.
Pirate!
Yar!
You're up for Isaac's wish.
Aye, aye, Captain.
The wishes of thousands of children are waiting to come true.
You can help make my wish happen. Visit wish.org today.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.mpca.org.
I had a sore in my mouth that just wouldn't go away. And after a couple of weeks, I went to my doctor.
A sore, lump, or thick patch in your mouth or throat could be a symptom of oral cancer.
My doctor told me I was smart to come in. He said that oral cancer is more common in African-American men than in any other group in the U.S. It turns out I did have oral cancer, but it was caught early and my treatment was successful. I'm glad I got it checked. That probably saved my life.
If you're an African-American man, you need to know about oral cancer. Visit a doctor or dentist if you see changes in your mouth that don't go away after 2 weeks. It's important to get an oral cancer exam, because if you do have cancer, the earlier it's caught, the better. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, National Institutes of Health.
This is our movement, and more importantly, this is our community. Do you feel like your community is being left behind? Has your elected official neglected their constituents? It's time to get your voice back. It's time for your community to rise up. We want you to take a picture of what's wrong in your community and send it to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. We want to help you advocate for yourself. We want to help you get your voice back. Your pictures will be featured on our blog. We might even take your issue up on our show. We are committed to your community. Now it's time for you to be committed as well. Go ahead, send the picture to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. Remember, it's time for you to get informed, empowered, and get your voice back. Our community, our movement. Only on The Richard Fowler Show. Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone.
Good night, America. Welcome back to the Richard Fowler Show.
We're back.
We're back.
It's time for your Maniacs part two.
My name is Rich Webster, host of the Political Maniacs, your curator of insanity. And on the Political Maniacs, we curate some of the craziest moments that happened this week in politics on the 20s of each hour. Your assignment, if you choose to accept it, listen to both. Tweet in who the Maniac of the Week is. And as always...
So what's going to keep me on the show?
That's right. Richard knows the line. So our first Secret maniac was Steve Bannon calling Sean Spicer fat.
That's what we are.
This is the part of the new acapella.
Well, I was going after the word. I was going after the word secret. Mm. See that?
I see what you did there.
It's getting hot in there. All right, that's actually perfect because I actually sort of snuck and I saw what this maniac was.
Yeah, it's getting hot for this Democratic lawmaker. So this is a classic civil servant maneuver when you're caught red-handed. It's to blame someone else. It's something that many people learn to do in preschool, and apparently our politicians love doing it now. A Democratic lawmaker is blaming his friend for all of the porn tabs he accidentally shared. A Democratic lawmaker in Rhode Island says all those pornographic browser tabs aren't his.
So the backstory is, he took a screenshot.
Okay.
Right, you could tell me, right? Well, whatever. He's supposed to be the curator of the Maniacs.
I'm going to curate this story.
Okay, so curate
Ramon away. Perez, elected to the State House of Rhode Island last year, distributed a printout of a Wikipedia article during testimony last week. However, the file was actually a screenshot that showed not only the article, but numerous browser tabs open to pages with explicit titles. Two contained the word teen, and one had the word young. This has subsequently been tweeted out. House spokesman Larry Berman said that Perez had given the printout to the clerk of the Finance Committee, who copied and distributed it, and then collected the copies once the X-rated browser tabs were noticed. Perez told local ABC station WNLE he was ashamed and sorry about the incident, describing it in the most lame way possible. A friend sent me that picture with the information I was looking for. I used that picture to make copies. I didn't see the stuff at the top. Perez is blaming his friend for his porn browsing.
So,
Richard, break it down.
So kiddie porn is disgusting and you shouldn't watch it, and it's illegal.
I don't think he was looking up child porn.
No, I don't think it's so the titles were like, so probably, I'm pretty sure the title was like, hot teen.
Yeah.
Hot teens.
I mean, I think that's like pretty standard for like.
Like man bangs hot teen.
Yeah.
Or was young. Like, so it'd be like young girl. Man bangs young girl.
Young girl does things.
Yeah, young girl does that licks
does
things.
Stuff.
So can I just make this point? So we would be wrong. We'd be wrong. Oh wait, no, they're not sure. Well,
we can see a few of them.
Oh, there's a MILF blonde.
Brunette J. Young cute.
MILF blonde.
MILF blonde. So he
mothers I'd like to screw. Blondes. Yeah. So let's just all admit America, well, I don't know. No, let's all admit.
I mean, I think the numbers speak in your favor.
Like, everybody watches porn. Okay? Man, woman.
Okay.
Man, woman, beast. Like, if you're like, I don't watch porn, you're lying. Especially if you're watching this on YouTube. Like probably your other browser. Your
if you're watching this on YouTube, the rest of your browser probably looks like Ramon Perez's printout.
And if you're listening to us, if you're one of the people listening to us on the syndicate, and you're on like you're listening to us overnight,
like in your car,
so it's like 2 o'clock in the morning, and you're home, you're probably also watching porn.
Or you should be instead of listening to us.
I mean, do you watch porn?
I mean, I think everyone does.
Okay, that's a guilt. That's a me that he watches porn.
I would never admit that publicly. I'm not stupid.
Okay.
When I want to run for president, I'm a good Christian boy.
Christian boys watch porn too. Warren Jeffs, just saying.
Is that a quote?
No. Moral of the story is that everybody watches porn.
Okay, so.
So, like, I just think, like, so if it were me handling this, like, mind you, I would have checked my, like.
All right, I disagree that the messaging line is everyone watches porn.
No, that's not the messaging line. But the line is, like, I'm one of those people that, like, you always want to check your, like, you clear your browser history, you make sure, like, you close your windows.
Part of being a responsible internet user is making sure that all the porn has evaporated from your computer like it was never there.
And it's never going to evaporate from your computer.
But
or just have like
as long as you're not having an FBI investigation.
Hello, or you can have an incognito browser. There's technology for that.
I mean, there is a reason that Safari, Gmail, and Firefox all have them.
Incognito browsers.
It's not so you can do your online shopping in privacy.
No, it's so that you could watch porn in privacy.
Without your
significant other,
family,
or significant other knowing.
Exactly.
So moral of the story, people. Before you print something out, make sure you check your browsers.
Yeah.
And there's no shame if you're over 18 and you watch porn. Just admit it.
But there is shame if you're under 18.
Well, if it's illegal if you're under 18.
Is it? I don't know what the law is. I guess it is, right?
Have you been to a porn site before? They have a whole little thing about, like, are you over 18?
I feel like
18?
They don't even do that anymore, though.
No, it's federal law that they have to do
laws on the internet. Good luck.
Laws on the internet.
Good luck. Anyway, so I agree with Richard. I do certainly agree with his assessment that everyone watches porn and it's totally okay.
And you know everybody watches porn because our number one viewed video on this channel, 7.2 million views now.
I'm the best.
Is I'm largest Japanese orgy.
I am a YouTube celebrity.
And let me tell you something about the largest Japanese. The reason why people type that into the they search.
Okay, people are stupid enough.
Large to Japanese
no,
orgy.
No. So when you go into YouTube and you type the word orgy into YouTube, my video shows up.
Right.
So I am getting all of the SEO from people
because people
think
actually
that
think
YouTube has porn.
You could
on
go
it.
On YouTube and get porn. YouTube is a family friendly website.
It's gonna be really sad one day when like YouTube removes my video.
Well, they will never remove our video.
Unless they do. Anyway, we're not done. We have a minute. Like I was saying with Richard's thing, I agree wholeheartedly. And like I could also make the argument that like this culture of like everyone having to hide their like sexuality is incredibly repressive and like screws people up, and we probably would have less Republicans if we were more open with our sexuality. But
I tend to agree with that.
That's
a
theory for another day.
I mean, I would say this is that like if you go to Europe, right, where sexuality is definitely more free and open. Like there's like I remember being in my grandmother's house in London, and at noon, like at midnight, G-String Divas came on, like on the regular,
on like state sponsored.
Yeah, channel. Like on BBC. It was like, and now it is time for G-String Divas.
I mean, in America, we're barely getting curse words onto cable now. Like,
and you get a boob every now and then.
In Europe, they could say whatever they want. Yeah. You know,
we get a half a butt cheek.
Oh yeah, and they're like. Move your children out of the room. Yeah. On this episode of NYPD Blue, you're going to see this man's butt.
Half a butt cheek. Half a whole butt cheek.
And there's no frontal. Disclaimer.
And I think what's crazy is there's no frontal nudity for men.
Sure. And I mean, what's that about? Sexist, right?
I know.
Am I right?
But I tend to agree with Rich. If we were a more free sexual society, there'd be more gays, more lesbians.
Yeah, people wouldn't be all repressed and angry all the time.
And there'd be more Democrats. Hate crime.
We're coming up with a break.
Don't go anywhere.
Hello, world. It's your boy, Richard.
Every night when I get home, I find myself quite thirsty. Thirsty for an adult beverage. And that is why I prefer a tall glass of organic wine from the Organic Wine Company. Founded in 1972, the Organic Wine Company is the nation's oldest importer of organically produced wines. They have a tremendous selection, red, white, sparkling, and dessert wines, and it's oh so tasty. It's easy and inexpensive to ship right to your door. For a limited time, you can get an even bigger savings by visiting ecowines.com and using the coupon code FowlerShow. Join the movement. Movement of good-tasting, earth-friendly wine drinkers, led by the fine folks at the Organic Wine Company. You can find them online at ecowines.com or give them a call, 1-888-ecowines.com. And don't forget to use that coupon code, FowlerShow, for your extra special discount. So you've heard about Martha's Vineyard and Vineyard Vine. How about Alexandria? Alexandria has a clothing line of its own, ALX 49, a line dedicated to Alexandria's history. You know, it was founded by two people over some beers. They thought about how they can talk about Alexandria's history beyond just talking about it, about doing it. And they created ALX 49. Find ALX 49 at Amazon.com by searching ALX 49, silk ties from imported silk, only from ALX 49.
Stop taking your politics so seriously. After all, politicians don't. Listen to syndicated political humorist Will Roberts every Saturday night, 6 to 7 p.m. on WEAC Radio 1480 AM. Will Roberts' weekly telegram, the highlights and lowlights of the week's events, Saturday night, 8 to 9 p.m., only on D.C.'s Main Street Talk Radio, WPWC AM 1480.
Take Action News is proud to be sponsored by Healthcare for America Now. HCAN is a national coalition of more than 1,000 groups in 50 states, representing 30 million people. HCAN works to promote, defend, implement, and improve the Affordable Care Act at both the state and federal levels. They also try to protect Medicare and Medicaid, increase corporate accountability, and confront forces that seek to take away critical services. HCAN believes in creating jobs, not cutting programs people depend on. HCAN runs comprehensive issue campaigns that mobilize people at the grassroots and define the public debate. HCAN is fighting to protect, implement, and improve the new healthcare law through national and state-based legislative and regulatory campaigns built on grassroots action, public education, communications, policy analysis, and groundbreaking research. HCAN has become a respected voice and national leader on healthcare while continuing to focus on aggressive field activity. Support HCAN, Healthcare for America Now.
Hello, this is Julia Louis-Dreyfus, and I want to tell you about my new favorite discovery, Yosemite National Park. I recently went there with my husband and children, and we walked the trails to see the breathtaking waterfalls, admired the grand meadows and giant sequoias. But the future of our national parks is uncertain. Many challenges face our parks today, from polluted air and water to development threats outside their borders and inadequate funding to protect our national heritage. That's why the National Parks Conservation Association recently completed a decade-long assessment of the challenges facing our national parks, along with proposed actions that will ensure our children and grandchildren will be able to enjoy the parks as we have. Our national parks have inspired Americans for nearly 100 years. As we approach the centennial of the National Park Service in 2016, please join us in helping to protect our national park legacy. Find out how at www.npca.org.
The Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone. Good night, America. We're back on the Fowler Show. We're talking about the Republican health care plan. Oh, boy. Jesus, take the wheel. Rich, tell us about this monstrosity.
Republican senators, after getting the House version of the alleged Obamacare repeal adjustment, what have you, bill, have unveiled their version of it after keeping it very, very secretive and for good reason. The reason that they kept it secretive is because people aren't going to like it, right? You don't keep things a secret if people are going to love them.
Well, that is true. And we already know that the House healthcare bill's approval rating is in the, what, mid-teens.
Right, which is never good.
Which is never good.
So they repealed their version of legislation that will replace Obamacare with a plan that scales back aid to the poor and kills a tax on the wealthy. But the bill's fate was quickly thrown into question as several senators voiced skepticism.
Indeed.
Notably Ted Cruz. But there were four.
There was four. Ron Johnson, mm-hmm. Ted Cruz, Mike Lee, and Rand Paul.
Yep.
Now here the
Renegades, the Mavericks.
Now here's what makes this interesting. Here is the Mitch McConnell conundrum, right? Is because so to get those four conservative members, they're gonna have to take things out of the bill that
is already not great for the
which is not a great bill. And I mean a lot. And here's the thing: they don't even have all the moderates on board. I mean, Susan Collins of Maine, she made a statement this week that said she's waiting to see what the CBO score looks like before she determines how she's going to vote. So these are the senators that are on the flip side of this. You have Rob Portman, you have Capito from West Virginia, you have Dean Heller from Nevada, you have Lisa Murkowski from Alaska.
Mm-hmm.
Those are your four, and I'm missing one. There's one of the five that I'm missing. And that's Susan Collins, right? Did I say her already?
You said that. That was
the five. There's five. There's five Republicans who are very nervous about how this will move. And there's a lot of governors, including John Kasich, who his top staffer came out today and said, we don't like this. This is the mess. If Donald Trump thinks this is how he's going to fix the Affordable Care Act, problematic. But now here's my bigger problem. Right, my bigger problem with this healthcare debate is goes back to the Democrats. Mind you, I don't blame, now let me make this one point to all the conservatives watching this segment and watching the show. You cannot blame Democrats for anything, okay? Because especially on this, on healthcare, on tax reform, anything that's with 51 votes or more, you could pass in the House, the Democrats could all call in sick and you could still pass whatever bill you want. That's how big the majority is in the House. In the Senate, the majority is big enough to the point where you don't need Democrats to do anything. So don't blame Democratic obstruction for the problems, because you don't need us to do anything. But now with that being said, Democrats, we need to go find a message. If I could give you $1 million to find a message, I would. And our message here needs to be very simple. Obamacare was the first step. Now we want a single payer health care for all system, period. Because if you notice something about the Republican fixes on both the House and the Senate, both of those bills, whether you like it or not, move us closer and closer to single payer. And here is why. Because in the House, in the Senate bill, they bail out the insurance companies.
Right.
Right? Which basically says selling insurance in a world where we have to guarantee that every American, pre-existing condition or not, income or not, has to have some form of health care is unprofitable.
Yep.
Right? So if we're bailing out the insurance companies, we're saying that they're not making a profit because insuring everybody somehow, some way, is unprofitable. Meaning, It shouldn't be for profit to begin with anyway. This is a human right. And the Democrats' argument, instead of saving Obamacare, screw it. That we've passed that. Obama is not in office and Trump doesn't care. So what we have got to do is we've got to be like single payer bust. We should roll out our single payer bill and be like, we want single payer bust. Both of these bills have made it clear to us. Yes, Obamacare was the first step for Democrats. We were very proud of it. It did a lot of great things. It cut down on fraud, waste, and abuse. It got more people in the system. It got rid of pre-existing conditions. But it showed the glaring problem in our healthcare system, health insurance companies. Because having health insurance does not guarantee health care.
No, you're 100% right. I mean, this bill is an absolute.
That was some. Like, can you just say that was some profound? I just kicked some serious knowledge right there.
The problem is,
he didn't even
I agree. I'm addressing yours. The problem that I have, unfortunately, is we create this bill and we start with this messaging as Democrats, what do Republicans do with it? I mean, is it just
they can just do nothing?
It's just a countermeasure.
Because here's the thing:
it's better than just saying.
Because here's the thing: they've already failed. If you're a Republican watching, let me tell you this. Your party has failed you because they ran for the past 7 years, or however long, on this one argument. Repeal. We're going to rip it up by its roots. We're going to take it out. We're going to knock it down. We're going to chop it up. We're going to kill it. And neither of these bills
are doing that.
Are killing it or repealing it.
Oh!
They're not even really replacing it. All they're doing is tinkering with it.
Adjusting it.
So it's like having a Christmas tree in your house, and like we're going to take the, dad says he's going to take the Christmas tree out, and instead of taking the Christmas tree out, he gets out a broom, and he sweeps up all the little things that fall, the little fingers that fall off.
Right.
That's all the Republicans are doing here. And the and here is the big elephant, the grand old party's elephant in the room. When health insurance companies are faced with the ideal that they have to insure all Americans somehow, some way, insuring people for healthcare becomes unprofitable. We are one of the few countries in the world that have this bustling healthcare industry, health insurance industry. Just move it on out the way. Say sorry, insurance companies. You're all going out of business because we're going. You can have add-on insurances, like you can have, you know, your, like a lot of my cousin in London, she has, you know, a regular, her NIH National Health System plan, like right. insurance, and she has an add-on where right. she can go see a private doctor at a private hospital, and maybe we can do that. But what this is showing is the ideal of insuring everybody in a sustainable way through health insurance companies is not feasible. It's rather impossible. And what's going to make it, what makes the argument more cogent for Democrats is that states are already adopting single payer. California right. has done it, Vermont has done it, and you'll see more and more states start to say, wait a minute, we could take our Medicaid expansion money, we could take the Obamacare, we could take the money we're putting into Medicare, we could take the money people are paying for their premiums, and we can just have a single payer.
And that's the unique conundrum that the United States faces as a country that lets its states kind of determine a majority of their healthcare decisions, right? That's what makes things weird and problematic. Now, another thing that I want to touch on from this bill that is going to be a story, and you know, the people that are affected by these bills are the people that voted to put these people in office.
Yep.
This bill is looking terrible for Medicaid. Some of the tax cuts that they are proposing, that the Affordable Care Act put into place to help basically finance, you know, all of its provisions, are being removed, and as a result, Medicaid is going to be hit hard. Now, Medicaid hurts a lot of people. It hurts poor people. It hurts mothers, those giving birth, and notably, it hurts elderly people. This is a mess. And how Republicans are going to get away with this? I mean, do they just wait until everyone realizes they've been hoodwinked?
Well, the interesting part about this bill is, number one, 1 in 5 Americans are on some form of Medicaid.
Right.
Right? That's number one. And number two, when Donald Trump signed this bill into law, right? Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying Obama's perfect, because Obama made this argument, if you like your doctor, you can keep your doctor, and that was a lie.
That was a mistake.
Right?
He probably should have fact-checked that.
He should have definitely fact-checked before he said it. But Donald Trump is going to pass this bill, and it's like, oh, your health care is going to be so great. And then what's going to end up happening? People who are currently in exchange, their policies are going to start to get canceled. States are going to start opting out and putting people who have pre-existing conditions, which is anything, because the House bill says,
if you've been to the doctor before,
you are pre-existing condition. And like, I mean, everything. Assault, rape, birth, the cough, the flu, everything's in a pre-existing condition. You're gonna have to go in that high-risk pool.
Right.
Right? And I mean, the other big sort of chasm they have is that the House bill is based on age of how the subsidy is given out, and the Senate bill is based on income. I mean, there are these big disparities. So whatever this Trump healthcare bill looks like, it's going to be a mess.
No, you're totally right. We're coming up on the break, folks.
We'll be back.
We'll be right back.
This is our movement, and more importantly, this is our community. Do you feel like your community is being left behind? Has your elected official neglected their constituents? It's time to get your voice back. It's time for your community to rise up. We want you to take a picture of what's wrong in your community and send it to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. We want to help you advocate for yourself. We want to help you get your voice back. Your pictures will be featured on our blog. We might even take your issue up on our show. We are committed to your community. Now it's time for you to be committed as well. Go ahead, send the picture to photo@fowlershow.com or tweet it to us at Fowler Show. Remember, it's time for you to get informed, empowered, and get your voice back. Our community, our movement. Only on The Richard Fowler Show.
Do you have a case of the saggy maggies? Or those uncontrollable bra straps? Oh, how annoying! Well, Braleaf is your solution. As you see, Braleaf is made of elastic, not plastic, and you can adjust its length for narrow to wide bra straps. Wow! With Braleaf, the results speak for themselves, giving you the lift you deserve. So try Braleaf, the premium adjustable bra clip. Available now.
So you've heard about Martha's Vineyard and Vineyard Vine. How about Alexandria? Alexandria has a clothing line of its own, ALX 49, a line dedicated to Alexandria's history. You know, it was founded by two people over some beers. They thought about how they can talk about Alexandria's history beyond just talking about it, about doing it. And they created ALX 49. Find ALX 49 at Amazon.com by searching ALX 49. Silk ties from imported silk. Only from ALX 49.
I'm a third grade teacher.
I'm a school bus driver.
I am a parent.
I am a teacher's aide. And I agree to be identified
as a caring adult who pledges to help bullied students.
I will listen carefully to all students who seek my help
and act on their behalf
to put an immediate stop to bullying.
I will work with other caring adults to create a safe
learning environment for all the students in my school.
In my school.
In my school.
In my school.
I'm Dennis Van Roekel, president of the National Education Association. Help us create safe, bully-free learning environments for all students. One caring adult can make all the difference. Be that adult and take the pledge at nea.org/bullyfree. Adults have the power to stop bullying in our schools.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
It starts with me.
Bully free. It starts with me.
Visit nea.org/bullyfree. A message from the National Education Association.
Hello, my name is Jim Gray, and I am a judge of the Superior Court in California and a former federal prosecutor in Los Angeles. I would like to talk to you for a moment about marijuana. Did you know that since the federal government first banned marijuana in 1937, usage in this country has actually gone up by about 4,000%? Or did you know that in the Netherlands, where adults are allowed to possess small amounts of marijuana and buy it from government-regulated businesses, fewer adults and fewer teenagers smoke marijuana than here in our country? Or that an American is arrested on marijuana charges every 38 seconds? If you are wondering if any of this makes sense, you are not alone. To find out more, contact the Marijuana Policy Project at 1-877-JOIN-MPP or visit them on the web at mpp.org. Thank you and good luck to us all.
The Richard Fowler Show is completely and totally interactive, so go ahead, give us a call, 202-573-8737, or tweet us at Fowler Show. Remember, this movement is nothing without you, so pick up that phone.
Yo!
Hello.
Yo!
Hello.
What's
so
up?
Can I just say that this
can
has been... I mean, I know it's been a couple weeks since we've both been back in the saddle, but this has been such an entertaining show.
I hope our viewers think that.
And I mean,
show.
I hope you... like. And I want to say this before we go to the life hack. So our job here on The Fowler Show, and we are big on this, is like we're never going to get life right. We're never going to get everything right. So there's things that we've said on the night show that some of you all might disagree with. But we hope you come back. or engage us in conversations and tell us why you don't agree.
Is this an apology?
No, it's not an apology. But I just think,
please come back.
No, I hope you come back. But I think, obviously I'm talking about the Bill Cosby segment where it was get hot and heated. Rarely ever do we get this hot heat on the Fallow Show.
Emotionally charged.
We try to bring different viewpoints to the arena. And the porn segment too, I guess.
Yeah, it was cool.
Anyway.
If you're into that.
Time for your life hack. What's the life?
All right. That was beautiful, Richard. Okay.
Love you. You love me. We're a happy family. With a great big hug and a kiss from me to you. Won't you say you love me too? Goodbye, fellas. See you next week.
In our life hack tonight, when cheap means dangerous, five things you should never do to save money. So a lot of times people put themselves in these austerity budgets because they've maybe overextended with credit cards or they're just trying to make ends meet. But often, as many Americans do, we tend to think that the crash course diet is the best way to go.
Nope.
But no, in this case, these are some of the worst ways that you can help yourself save money.
No, ma'am.
Number one.
No, sir.
Don't sacrifice a healthy diet.
Never.
Right?
Like, get the Brussels sprouts, avoid the French fries, right. Period.
So, someone told me this, and I it always sticks with me. People think that McDonald's is a good cheap meal because it's so inexpensive. Like, I mean, the fact of the matter is that you can feed a family for, $10, $15.
But you could also feed a family for $10 very healthily at the supermarket if you know what the hell to buy.
Remember this, Richard. You should be very concerned if you can get a whole meal for $3 at a place. Dang. That is wrong, right? That should tell you everything you need to know about what they're serving.
No, I agree, but I also, let me make this one point, is that you could actually you could feed your family very healthfully for $10. Like
at the grocery store.
Yeah.
But about a restaurant.
You buy a cabbage, it's usually $1.
Let's see. Let's hear Richard's austerity meal.
No, here. I mean, you buy a cabbage, that's $1.
Okay. You got your veg.
Your vegetable.
Okay.
Then you go to the canned food aisle.
Okay.
And you buy either sardines and or tuna. I really like tuna. But not the one in the oil. You want the one in the water because the oil gives excess. It's just too much fat. It's not good for you. And then, so that's your vet. That's your protein.
How many cans of tuna are you getting?
How many people in the family?
Four.
Three cans of tuna.
How much is that?
$3.
$2?
$2.
$2? All right, so you're up to $3.
Probably get a 2-for-1 special. And you have your cabbage at $3.
So you're eating a bowl of tuna and cabbage.
So you need a carb, right?
Okay.
So then you have two choices.
You do
rice or potatoes.
Beans aren't carbs, are they?
Wait. No, beans are protein, my friend.
Rice or potatoes? Okay.
And then you could then, if you have, then you have extra money, you could do a bean. Boom.
And what do you finish it off with?
I mean, for dessert?
What's for dessert?
A Jell-O. $1.
Oh my $6. God. Jell-O's not healthy.
Or anyway. you could go, instead of like going to the actual produce aisle, go to the frozen food aisle, and you could buy a bag of frozen fruit, and then you can make smoothies for dessert. Richard Fowler, no. Richard Fowler, no.
Okay, here's another one. Don't buy cheap work gear. What you wear to work matters and it can affect how you're judged. Do not skimp on your work gear and your work clothes.
You always gotta look good.
This was $2. Richard bought this at the thrift store. It's
girl, bye. But here's the thing, though.
He's gonna get
I pride myself on looking really good at my job, and thus. Like people
it's
like
an investment in your future.
I mean, people literally say I'm one of the best dressed guys in cable television.
Yep.
Boom, and that means people are like, oh, we want him back. He's best dressed. Boom.
Boom. Here's another one.
Boom.
And I feel most strongly about this
one.
Don't put off necessary medical care.
Because it'll cost you later.
This is so important. And it's really hard for people that are struggling and don't have a lot of money because often, you just to feel like you don't have it in the budget and there's nothing you can do. But you can't do it. Like, an ounce of prevention is better than a pound of cure. And by the time you're trying to pay for that pound, you're screwed.
That's what my mom always used to say, prevention is better than cure.
Yep. Final two ones, then we're going to the moment. Don't cheap out on safe transportation. No matter what you're doing, whether you have a car or a bike, do not risk your life in the line of duty. Keeping your vehicle in good shape is worth
Here's
it.
Here's the thing. A cheap putt-putt means you will always have to repair it, and it's going to cost you as much as buying a good car.
And the final one, don't compromise on safety gear, whether it's your dog leash or your sunscreen or your contraceptive products. Do not go for the cheap one, because you are not going to be happy when the things that count
Get
fail.
Good condoms, people. Get good condoms. Not the ones the Department of Health. Get good ones. All right. The Department of Health now are putting out good ones.
Richard, usher us into the final segment of the program.
It's tonight in the moment. I feel it's good to be back with you guys. I mean, it's good to be here and be back with all of you amazing Fowler Nation members. When I'm not with you, I still think about you. Tonight's quote comes from Abraham Lincoln. He says, "Don't worry when you are not recognized, but strive to be worthy of recognition." Boom. Now, when I heard that one, I was like, "Ooh, yeah, that's good. That's real rich. It's a real rich quote." And it has everything to do with this. Sometimes in life we go through phases. And one of the phases that we go through, and a phase that I just sort of went through in my sort of, where I'm at in the universe, right, is this phase of cleaning, where life, you clean and you prune and you cut all the junk and the mess and the gook in your life so that you can be worthy of recognition. A lot of times we strive to, we want people to notice us. We haven't done the real work, the mental work, the work to get us worthy of recognition, right? We haven't put ourselves out there. We haven't done enough. We haven't labored enough. And so what we've got to do, if we really want to live our true purpose-driven life, is we've got to find what we're passionate about, and we've got to bust our behinds at doing it. And we've got to become really good at it. We've got to be able to go in and beat whatever, when the boss tells you you need to do X, you come back with X, Y, and Z, and a cherry on top. Right? And when we can do that, when we become worthy of recognition, then the universe will respond and the recognition will come. But a lot of times I think people wake up and they're like, "I woke up today and I demand to be recognized." But they haven't done the work. Not the physical work, but there is physical work, but the mental work and the social emotional work, right? And the laboring around something. And I mean, I think the Fowler Show is a great example. We've been on for 5 years, right? And finally, our show is growing and growing, but we didn't show up on YouTube last night. Our first day on YouTube, we started out with one view and one subscriber, right? And we worked, never looking for recognition, always about informing, empowering, and helping folks get their voice back. And because of that, we went through different changes and different cycles, and here we are today. Moral of the story, put some work in it, people. Put some work in it. So that clock on the wall tells me it's time to go, but remember, I love you, but God loves you way more than I do. This is Richard Fowler, signing off from Washington. Have a good night.
Sunlight again.